What if everything you've been taught about success is backwards? We grow up hearing that quitters never win and winners never quit, but what if the real secret to achievement is knowing exactly when to fold? Muhammad Ali's boxing career tells two contradictory stories. The fighter who staged an impossible comeback against George Foreman in 1974, and the same champion who refused to stop fighting for 7 more years despite clear medical warnings, ultimately contributing to his Parkinson's diagnosis. The same grit that made him great destroyed his health. This paradox sits at the heart of a revolutionary insight. The qualities that fuel success can become toxic when circumstances shift, but our behavior doesn't. We've built an entire culture around persistence, creating euphemisms like pivot and starting a new chapter to avoid the shame of admitting we quit. Even Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn, retiring with a body broken beyond repair, felt compelled to insist she wasn't giving up. Yet research consistently shows we persist far too long in losing situations. The truth? Quitting isn't the opposite of grit. It's grit's essential partner. One gets you up the mountain, the other tells you when to come down before the storm kills you. During the 1996 Everest disaster, 3 climbers, Hutchison, Task, and Kasichka, honored their 1 p.m. turnaround time and descended safely, just hours from the summit. Their guide, Rob Hull, who had always enforced strict turnaround times, waited for a struggling client who reached the summit at 4 p.m. Both died on the mountain. Yet these wise quitters remain forgotten, while those who died are memorialized. This invisibility creates a learning crisis. We can't learn from examples we never see. Quitting enables us to start things in the first place. Imagine if every decision was permanent. Richard Pryor understood this at the Comedy Store, ruthlessly abandoning material that bombed and developing what worked into Grammy-winning routines. Like dating before marriage, quitting is how we navigate uncertainty. But here's the trap. While quitting helps us make good decisions under uncertainty, that same uncertainty makes quitting feel impossible. Perseverance promises eventual certainty. Quitting leaves us haunted by what-ifs. Companies that advertised during Tom Brady's first Super Bowl in 2002, AOL, Blockbuster, Circuit City, Radio Shack, Sears, all vanished, not from refusing to adapt, but from refusing to quit outdated business models. Stuart Butterfield shut down Glitch with $6 million remaining and 5,000 devoted users. Despite 7% weekly growth, the math was brutal. 31 weeks to break even, with 95% of new users quitting after 7 minutes. He redirected resources to Slack, which sold to Salesforce for $27.7 billion. Effective quitting requires mental time travel, projecting beyond present circumstances to calculate long-term expected value. Dr. Sarah Olston Martinez applied this after 16 years as an ER physician when administrative burdens caused hair loss and insomnia. She recognized staying guaranteed continued unhappiness, while changing offered possibility of satisfaction. Economist Stephen Levitt studied 20,000 people facing major quitting decisions. Those who quit reported significantly greater happiness months later. The right time to quit always feels premature. That discomfort often signals it's time. We quit too early when winning, but persist too long when losing. New York City cab drivers exemplify this. Quitting after hitting income goals on profitable days, but working through unprofitable shifts chasing the same target, costing them 15% in potential earnings. The culprit is loss aversion. Losses hurt twice as much as equivalent gains feel good. When ahead, we prefer certainty, taking guaranteed $100 over a coin flip for $200 or nothing. When behind, we gamble, risking owing $200 rather than paying certain $100. Retail traders lock in gains early while canceling stop-loss orders when losing. Poker players cash out quickly when winning, but stay super glued to the seat when losing. Research on 700-plus institutional portfolio managers found their buying decisions outperformed benchmarks by 120 basis points annually, but selling decisions performed worse than random. We naturally track positions we hold, but stop monitoring those we've exited, missing crucial feedback. This creates a vicious cycle. We learn from persistence, but remain blind to whether our quits were wise. Harold Staw built ABC stores from a chicken coop into a major Southern California retail chain. When Kmart competition made his stores unprofitable, every signal screamed, quit. Texas shareholders revolted, his attorney switched sides, Fred Meyer offered a buyout. Harold refused, ultimately losing everything except a single property lease. His son Barry became a pioneering researcher studying why people persist in losing endeavors, using the Vietnam War as his example. Leaders responded to failure by increasing investment rather than withdrawing, costing $200 billion and 58,000 American lives. Even in low-stakes experiments, people demonstrate irrational commitment. Participants working on crossword puzzles for payment could request a dictionary that would never arrive. Over half waited beyond the point of no return, when potential earnings dropped below what they could have secured by quitting. This stems from the sunk cost fallacy, the belief that the only way to recover previous expenses is to continue. You'd decline a free concert ticket during freezing rain, but if you'd already spent $95, you'd probably go despite identical conditions. Andrew Wilkinson poured $11 million into Flow over 12 years while growth slowed from 20% to 5% monthly. He rejected a $6 million acquisition offer because he'd invested $11 million. The hardest thing to quit is who you are. At Google X, Astro Teller's Monkeys and Pedestals model reveals a crucial insight. When training a monkey to juggle flaming torches on a pedestal, focus on the monkey first. The pedestal is easy, but training the monkey might be impossible. Project Foghorn proved seawater could convert to fuel, but lacked commercial viability, so they shut it down. Since we respond poorly to quit signals, establish kill criteria in advance, specific conditions that trigger termination. The most effective criteria combine states, objective measurable conditions, and dates, specific timeframes. If I haven't achieved X by Y date, I'll quit. Admiral McRaven's Bin Laden raid included 162 phases with specific quit conditions. Richard Thaler's endowment effect shows we overvalue what we own. The IKEA effect intensifies this. We value things we've built ourselves even more, explaining why building pedestals is dangerous. Status quo bias amplifies our commitment to failing paths, making continuation feel automatic while change requires deliberate action. Maya Schenker's torn tendon ended her promising violin career under Itzhak Perlman's tutelage. This forced pivot led her to cognitive psychology at Yale, a Rhodes Scholarship, a PhD at Oxford, founding the White House Social and Behavioral Sciences team, and becoming Google's Global Director of Behavioral Science. Though devastating, this forced quit revealed her dislike of solo work and opened unexpected doors. My own path mirrors this. At 26, gastroparesis hospitalized me while on track to become an academic. Needing income during my health-mandated leave, I turned to poker. What began as a temporary solution became an 18-year career, including a World Series of Poker championship bracelet. Ants demonstrate wisdom in exploration. Even when discovering abundant food, some continue seeking alternatives, knowing their current bounty could disappear. Humans often wait until forced to explore. During London's 2014 underground strike, 171 of 270 stations closed, forcing 70% of commuters to find alternative routes. Remarkably, 5% permanently switched after discovering they saved 6 minutes per journey. These better routes existed all along, but commuters had settled into status quo paths. Sears built a financial services empire, including Allstate Insurance, Dean Witter, Discover Card, and Coldwell Banker, assets worth over $16.6 billion by the early 1990s. Yet, when forced to make strategic decisions, Sears divested these successful businesses to reinvest in failing retail operations, claiming it needed to get back to its retailing roots. The businesses Sears abandoned thrived independently. Sears went bankrupt. Winners quit a lot. That's how they win. Quitting something no longer worth pursuing isn't failure, it's success. True failure is continuing to pursue the wrong goal.